Please call over choice.
Welcome again to another episode of the R and Love podcast. So we are R and Love.
I'm the R.
I'm the N. So I am Nadia.
And I'm Rodney.
This could be long. Okay. And then, so we are a married couple, married millennials. We are parents. We are observant. We are business owners. We're talkative at times and then not at times, but today we are. And then we are also friendly.
Yes.
And so we have a few people who are joining us today. And I have to say a few because it's not just two. We have the Stokes in the house today.
You are stoked to have the Stokes here?
I'm sure. Yes. I've never heard that joke ever in life. Ever. I am sure they're just excited.
They got the hair a lot today.
Anyway, so we'll let you introduce yourself, guys. Tell us more about you guys.
Okay, so I am Nicolette.
I'm Kevin.
And this is Nyla, our almost 1 year old. She'll be one literally in a week, y'all. Aww. I don't know how to feel about that.
You went by fast.
Yeah. Went by really fast. But we are also married millennials. Kind of just
millennials, like y'all caught that. Like, I feel like y'all at the end of that. Y'all ain't
no man, don't do me like that. Yeah, we millennials.
Okay, go ahead.
I think I barely grazed it though. You know? Yeah. But I'm no Gen Z or what they name. That's it, right? Gen Z.
Yeah.
No man, don't diss me like that.
I'm sorry. Okay, so the purpose of the show. So usually we just sit down and we talk about some things that were brought up, or people who write into rnlovepodcast@gmail.com or on our social media, any issues that they brought up as well. We discuss those. We discuss relationships and parenting and everything like that.
This season,
we wanted to talk to some other people, like get a different vantage point. So we decided to talk to a few couples, and we've talked to a few couples thus far, and it's been very engaging just hearing their stories, their background, understanding who they are and what has brought them to the point that they're at. So, and what makes them tick. And we want to dive in with the Stokes with that. We need to hail up the people who were the early birds, the people who were waiting in the parking lot for the doors to open. Mm-hmm. So we have to hail up Ashley. Ashley Hall was a former guest, if you guys remembered a few episodes back.
Oh, that was amazing.
Hi, Ashley. Then we have Mama Celeste.
Hey, Mommy.
Listen, if these parents are the best, they are really.
I was just about to say, if ain't nobody was gonna be here, she would have been right on it.
Okay, all right.
And speaking of parents,
I got my mommy.
Hi,
hey, Liz, how you doing? Love it.
I'll watch it tomorrow. Hi, mommy.
Yeah. All right. And so we have a few other people in the room watching as well. So you know, don't just watch, just comment and add to the conversation as well. So what we plan on doing is diving in on you guys' story. So we just want to hear a little bit more about the Stokes.
Okay.
Well, I would say I definitely made the first move. We was in college in trigonometry.
Yeah,
trigonometry. I sat in the back of the classroom. She sat in the front of the classroom. And I knew I needed help. And one day I just asked her at the class, can you study with me? Can you help me get my work together? Because she was very smart. She knew all the answers. She was one of the girls raising her hand when the teacher asked questions. So I knew she would be a good tutor. And yeah, one thing led to another, and here we are.
But what's crazy about it is, like, I was new. I just came over here. Now, usually, like, when guys, like, American guys would ask for my number, I would always be like, oh, I'm from here. I have no U.S. number. You can't, you know what I mean? Like, you can't call me or Like, it was always some kind of excuse as to why we just couldn't have no kind of conversation. But I don't know. I just like, okay, this guy need help. Let me just, you know, and okay. Yeah, we just. But we actually met because that was back in 2014. Okay. And we was like friends like for years until about, you know, it was like 2017. Like the end of 2017, that's when we really started dating. But the whole time we were really just friends. Like, and it was crazy too, because like I would go home on breaks and stuff like that, and he just had WhatsApp already. So even when I was home, like we would still communicate and stuff. Like, it was crazy that we kept that connection. And yeah.
So for those who don't know, because maybe you know, where is home for you guys now?
Okay, so we live in Arkansas. Kevin is actually from here.
Okay.
Born and raised.
And what's colleges was you guys at?
What, college?
Oh, yeah, University of Central Arkansas.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So before I get into the comments, I know, let's see these comments.
Yeah, we have to hail up a few people. So Donovan Roll is in the house. He says, yo, as he always does, as if he's a gap or something. big time Sigma, right? Miss Hall, how you doing? Oh, she's hailing us up. Yes. And then we have Shiva. Shiva says the power of the light skin.
That's no mind. No mind. Tell Shiva, don't do me like that, man.
That's all it was. yeah, so Big Sis Naj is in. She says the Thompsons are tuned in.
Hey, sis.
One people.
So question, guys, you see, you guys are friends prior to dating for about 3 years. What are some of the things you learn about each other that I was like, this is a good friend?
I feel like for me, Kevin was always someone I knew I could talk to. Like, no matter what the situation was, I always felt comfortable talking to him. Like, yeah, he was always like really attentive and, you know, like supportive, and he always had the right things to say. And even now, like in our relationship, I still feel like that. A part of me feel like, because he's also a psychologist, guys. So I think that has a major role in, you know, like it's like he naturally have that. Nah, I know what to say. I know how to help you out. Like this is this. Like, he honestly helps me realize things that sometimes I can't even, you know, see myself. Yeah.
Okay. So that's... Tell us more about your story though. Like dive in.
So Nicolette was just, she was just a good person to talk to just in general, like she had said. Honestly, she was interesting. Like I said, she was from the Bahamas. So I really wanted to know more about her, and the more I learned, the more I realized how down to earth she was. Like, she would enter a lot of things that I'm interested in, like, for example, like space and stuff like that. So, with my psychology background, it did teach me how to communicate in a proper way, if that makes sense. Like, know what to say and how to say it so I can get a good response in return. And from there, it just worked out. And I didn't like her more and more and more than we...
So you guys have a couple of fun stuff. One is communication, man. What kind of advice, because not everybody's a psychology buff like you get, what kind of advice do you give the guys who are either friends or dating already married, who communication isn't as easy for them to, you know, to
communicate
use?
With their spouse? Yeah.
Advice I would give is take a step back and try to see it from the other person's perspective. I think a lot of times we get caught up in our own personal feelings, how it affects us, and is it working? Is it still on? Like, it froze.
Is that the Wi-Fi? Yep.
Can you hear me?
Hello? I know it's on my iPhone.
Yeah, that's us.
That was us?
No, that was us.
Okay.
Are we back?
Hold on.
Yeah, we
could.
Yeah,
we're back. Yeah.
Okay.
Where was that?
You
that piece of gem.
Gems of
advice.
Okay. You and I hot fire.
Advice I would give in relationships, if, as far as communication, would be to take time and look at it from the other person's perspective. I think a lot of times we get caught up in our own personal feelings and how it affects us, and we'll never try to see how it affects that other person as well. So I say what I would do is take a step back and just wonder, all right, she's mad, so why is she mad? Let me figure out why she's mad instead of focus on why I'm mad. All right, I know why I'm mad, but I need to understand why she's upset. And I feel like if I can understand why she's upset, we can come to a common ground, a solution. But I feel like a lot of times, like I said, people want to just caught up in their own personal emotions. They'll never want to just try to see how the other person is feeling as well.
That's nice. Empathy. That's good. And next thing with friendship, I know we were friends first as well before we started dating. Do you think that's a key part of relationships, to be friends first? Or do you think just be friends during the dating periods? What are your thoughts and views on that?
Okay.
Like, think for a second.
I think it definitely helps because, I mean, like, being friends first, you get to, I guess, like, you get to learn the person in a different way. Like, you know, like, you're just friends, so it's not, like, I don't know, like, I guess, like, an attraction or, you know, like, you're not looking at it from a relationship perspective, so you really, like, know this person as a friend. Like, you get to see a different side of this person. Like, they ain't trying to, you know, like, do this and not to, like, impress you or, you know, like, get a certain response from you or nothing like that. It's just, like, that's the real them, like, you know, and I think that that's important before just jumping into a relationship, because here it is now, you know, exactly, like, you basically know the real them.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I totally agree. There's not this like pretense. There's not this facade. There's not this, I'm trying to impress you, you know, or other motivations involved like just yet. So we get to be real and have fun, and I get to see you in your high moments and your low moments. So I just get to understand how you think,
right?
And that is so much of a key. So it's like, if I get to see all of that and I still like you, like, yeah, man, we good to go.
Right.
We good to go. This is a good thing. Mm-hmm. We have questions in the comments. So, but first, Shiva coming for you.
What I do, man.
So light skin plus intellectual equals Nicolette Hooked. Miss Hall would like to know, she says she missed it, how long have you been married?
Okay, so we've actually been married for a year now. We celebrated our 1 year anniversary last year, September. So we new to this, man. We new to this.
Well, how y'all talking? Y'all got these veteran advice. You even get me taking notes. But I have another question though. It's a lot of persons are like stuck in that friend zone because they have such a good thing happening with their friends. They don't want to like rock the boat or top over that relationship.
Now, anyway, he talking about a lot of people. That was his excuse before.
Since you put my God, that was my thing then. Since you put out the my thing was real. We were friends first, and I thought she was such a good friend, and I said, I don't want to try my hand and lose her friendship. But I knew that she was somebody I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. What was that thing for you guys to say, you know what, I would chance, you know, potentially risking this relationship as a friend to take it to the next level?
Yes. What was the catalyst?
All right, this one on you.
I can't exactly pinpoint what it was, but I just knew that I just enjoyed being around her, and I knew the best way to do that is for us to be together so we could be around her a whole lot more. And yeah, I guess at that point when I often with first friends, you hang out for a while, then like, all right, she's gonna go home, everything be fine. Then why she not here? I mean, I would still be fine. But then when I started realizing when she wasn't around, like, dang, I really miss Nicolette. Like, I really wish she was here right now. So then, like I said, when you get to hanging out every day, and like I said, one thing and then lead to another.
So, like, you have to be aware of how you feel outside of this person's presence and then determine whether or not that's something you can live with, is what you're saying.
Yeah, basically.
you got to take these feelings. So we got that. So you guys are friends, you know, Eli, but you got to do math, but he could do math because he thought it was cute. Then you say you guys began friends, you took it to the next level, this dating. What was one of those, I wouldn't say roadblocks, what was one of those things that you had to get adjusted to? Because Nicola, you're from Nassau, the Bahamas, Kev, you're from the States, Arkansas. What was one of those things that say, man, this really is a culture coming together, but it isn't, you know, adding up? What was one of those things? Or any fun stories you guys have?
I'll say one. Like I said, I'm from Arkansas, she's from Nassau. Y'all say bae, right? Bae. Over here, you say bae to somebody that you have affection and feelings for, like somebody you're actually dating. So the first time, like I said, when I'm in that phase of trying to figure out how we're going to date or not, I heard her call like some guy bae. So I'm like, all right. And so I let it slide. then another bae. I'm like, all right, hold up. I don't get it. Like, why is everybody bae? And then she explained to me that's just a common word that y'all use. So that's something I definitely get adjusted to. I thought about it for weeks. Like, I don't, why is everybody bae? I don't like, you cool with all these people?
All these people need help in trigonometry.
Like, exactly.
Right. Kevin was like, I thought it was just me.
But yeah, I'll say just the language.
The language, yeah. But it's something I like to say bae a lot. So it's like, man, I guess. I don't know what's equivalent to what you guys say over there, but just in turn, it's not even a term of endearment because bae can mean so much different things.
It's how you say it. It's you like, say, bae.
Stop like, it. Bae can be a warning. You say, bae. That's like, okay, mm-hmm. You should back up. Like, bae. That's like beckoning someone to come.
Bae.
Say, bae, I have something
like,
to tell you.
You know, like something happened.
I like, bae. It's that's a like a rearrange. You yeah, know what I mean?
Sorry.
I don't know. It's a whole.
I had to learn all of that. But at first, I was really confused.
I remember when he first brought it up to me too. I was like, "Oh my gosh, no, that's not what I like." You got this all wrong.
Yeah, that's not it.
But don't worry, y'all. Now he hip to the lingo. He know bae. He know mother stick. He know everything you could possibly think of. Everything. He say he fluent now.
Very fluent.
So I
what about you, Nicola? What were some of the things?
Yeah, you had to get
that. I had to get adjusted to. For me, let's see. Definitely wasn't a language thing. I think for me, it was like some of the things we would say, I guess that would be acceptable back home. It's like mm-hmm. that could come off as, or even just how you say things, it could come off as rude or like, yeah like rude or like demanding. Like that was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, like to me, it's like, no, man, I mean it like that. Like, that's not, even if I just say, oh, Kevin, come here. You know, like to us, it's just like, yeah, we just saying come here. But it's like, you literally have to be more mindful to them. Like, it could come off as rude. Like, like you sound demanding.
Yeah, I'll say, I can't speak for all Black people in America, but I feel like to an extent, we're aware of what people are saying to us and try to make sure they're not trying to be offensive while they say it. So it's almost like at first when she would say something, be like, who are you talking to? Like, who do you think you're talking about? Then I realized she don't mean like any offense by it. But yeah, this is how we are over here. I don't know why we just make sure when nobody trying to say something slick to us or say something that was over the top. So we're already on edge. And as soon as we hear something, we jump on it.
Like, even if you say, like, you know, sometimes we would say boy, but we ain't saying boy in a disrespectful way. No. To some Black people here, boy could be, you know, almost like racist in a way. Yeah. Because of like basically where the term came from, like how it was used and stuff back in the day. So it's just some stuff, like even just little small stuff is like, okay, I didn't mean it like that, you know, but like I say, now Kevin is used to it. So I think just when it comes to like differences, like as far as cultural differences go, it's just coming to like a common understanding of how we say things and stuff like that. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even have considered that because you right. I mean, think about how often, first of all, like that. So that's a whole lot of mix up for us because he says bae often. And I can really say boy, look here.
I can say it too. Yeah.
And look at me trying to start something that I'm trying to start. Like, no, right. Like, no, like, I need you to come see ya. Come, yeah. Like, what do you mean?
Like, who are you talking to? Like,
what's happening? Like, no, and right. I really understand I that. Like, you know, it's really considering and making a lot of considerations and understanding for the other person. But that's cool. And y'all work through that quick. I mean, it's
y'all are decent.
Like the other, okay?
I'm an aggressive talker, so I can't imagine the things that I say. And it's not aggression as in terms of I did about his aggression, but it's just it's a love in there. But like you said, in terms of context and in terms of how it could be spun or how it's interpreted, I was very mindful of as well. And I guess that's why communication, Kevin, is your thing, because you saw what she meant beyond what she's saying, and you actually have the patience to say, no, let me see. Like, I don't think she's meaning something disrespectful.
Yeah.
Let me see what she could possibly mean. And I think that's a lesson you can take in any relationship that you can only like. When if someone is hungry or tired, you can't just assume they mean the worst. They're hungry or tired. You just have to, like Kevin say, see how they feel about it because they might just be hungry and tired. So don't get offended. Just say, hey, how can I help you in this situation?
Side note, I'm a whole Hulk when I'm hungry and or sleepy.
She's a pin me of the Snickers commercial. Like, you're not you when you're hungry. She's a pin me of that. It's like, and I just smile up and say, you sleepy, let's go upstairs, let's go lay down, because we talk about it tomorrow.
In the evening is not a good time to have a heart to heart with me, because I'll say some things because I'm sleepy. I'm like, let's get this conversation over with quick. Like,
I feel like that's literally like a similar situation for us, because I feel like I'm more of a morning person and Kevin is like the night owl. So in the nighttime, listen, if you don't message me by 10 o'clock,
doggy,
I gotta wait until tomorrow. But I am bright and early. I am bright and early, 5 o'clock every morning, and he's sleeping, like, you know, like we complete opposites in that aspect. Yeah.
So the comments that I go.
Oh yeah. So let's hit up the comments. We have Big Brother Michael is up in the comments saying what's up.
Michael, what you doing here? Boy, Michael, you're far.
Oh, Lord.
She doesn't admit it, actually. She cannot admit it.
Nah, she's saying that Rods is very sweet. Yes, he is. He's the sweetest thing, child. Tommy said, my look is everything. Love it. Listen, thank you, Tom. Thank you. I try to get used to the ball and I miss it. It's been a while, but I try.
Nadia always on here slaying. All the time.
Yes, Ashley, I am admitting it. And Alexander, you really didn't have to encourage Ashley.
Cosine.
Wow. Yeah, so when I am hungry and sleepy, I am a beast. I'm a horrible person. But other than that, I'm a very nice person. And there are things that you get to know about me. That's fine.
And cool. Acceptance and understanding that comes to the territory. So that's fine, man. She said, like, our Bosch kids are diamonds. All the Sweden's all the. Anyway, hold on.
Just saying about me. It's not about me.
Quick topic question. One thing you guys had, and Nick led you from the Bahamas, we know the level of snow you all had over there was bananas crazy. How was that for you, Nick? Like, I mean, it's you see up on long sleeve. It's like, you want to see the pictures? It's like, it's 60 some degrees over here, and that causes pull out the long sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
How are you managing over there?
Okay, so honestly, by now I used to it. Like, I am used to it. As far as like the cold and stuff like that, like 60 something degrees ain't cold to me no more. It really ain't. It ain't cold to me no more. Like, I would say cold is probably like 30s. That's cold. But anything higher than that, I could manage. I could manage now. 30s. Now, this snow that we just had, that was ridiculous. Okay. Like, I feel like Arkansas ain't never saw that much snow. Like, that was record breaking.
It was like -2 degrees on Sunday.
Yes. It was just negative.
-2 degrees.
Why?
-2. Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it's a winter system. It just came over. And yeah. But that's like living in Arkansas my whole life. One thing I would tell people who would visit here, if you ever visit Arkansas, is bring clothes for every season, because you'll go through all four seasons in a week here. Like Nicolette said, one minute it's raining, then it's super hot outside. Mm-hmm. Then next day it's in the 20s or 30s. It's mm-hmm. it's all over the place. Like snow like this, I haven't seen it this deep, but I've seen snow like this before.
Yeah. The snow was actually, I think the most we got this past week was, it was up to like 22 inches.
22 inches of snow?
Yes. And I think the most they had on record was like 15 inches. And that hasn't happened since 1918. So it was like over 100 years. They haven't had like anything like this before. Now, I wanted it to snow. I really wanted it to snow because I really wanted Nyla to see the snow. But this was too much snow.
Yeah, it was too much. We were in the house like 4 or 5
days. Huh?
5 days? Yeah, we were in the house about 4 to 5 days. We got the day for the first time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was in the house about 4 to 5 days.
Because, you know, like this, the South, so people ain't used to driving on the roads. Like basically everything would shut down whenever it's just a little bit of snow or ice on the road. Nobody driving in that down here.
Yeah, so, when you get 1 or 2 inches, they're going to shut down. Like schools and major things like that. But with 10 to 12 plus inches, it was
like no one could
go anywhere. It took
a couple
of days before they got everything back up and running.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That is. Okay, so back to cultural differences, right? you guys have been blessed with a beautiful baby girl who is so sweet right now, and she's sleeping. Yeah, she's y'all sleeping. Need to see her. For the listeners, she's a Gerber baby. She is... Yes. All cheeks, hair thick, off. Beautiful hair, round face. Like, who's trying to smile in her sleep? Okay. She's a sweetie, right? Do you think that your diverse backgrounds dictated your parenting style?
That's a good question.
I thank you.
That's a really good question.
I would say our parenting styles are I think, more similar than they are different.
Okay.
Like, I think we've had that. It's just like even now, I feel like Nala, she's starting to get an attitude, and we're trying to get it under control. Mm-hmm. But yeah, one thing I would say, I think we're just, I don't know, I think we're being real patient with her. Like, we're not quick to jump at her, start screaming and yelling, because at the end of the day, she's still a 1-year-old. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't expect to know everything. But other than that, I think we're almost the same.
Yeah, basically. Like, I think we have similar parenting, honestly. I feel like the only difference is it would be, like, a difference between male and female. Like, you know, like, a mother is always nurturing, like, you know, like, mommy always the emotional, come here, baby. Don't, yeah. You know what I mean? And daddy is, like, this fun guy. Come when you want me, throw you up in the air.
It's fun time in my
corner. Yeah. But, I mean... Other than that, Nala is like, baby, too, sometimes. And somebody asked me that, too, like, if I feel like she gonna have a Bahamian accent. And I was like, maybe, like, early on, because for now, like, she's around me the most. Like, even when Kevin at work, it's like, always me, not all day. You know what I mean? So I feel like starting out, she probably would have a slight accent, like she would say certain things and stuff like that, but when she starts school and get around more of her American friends, that's gone, that's all the window. But I think she would always be able to understand and comprehend like what I'm saying, you know what I mean?
Yeah No man, that's beautiful, mom. No, I'm a big advice person, and one of the things I love about you guys, you all showcase like Black love, showcase young love, and then showcase the family. So some persons who are interested in starting a family or just ain't too sure the next step, what kind of advice you guys would say to, I guess, maneuver or to just stay on the right track as relates to raising children?
Well, it has to be a team effort. I feel like y'all decided to do it again. That's to be a team effort. And like I said, knowing to put small, petty things to the side. Mm-hmm. Man, everything's not worth arguing about. And I think one thing that we've worked on together is something that we may be irritated about, let's put on pause and not just mention at the moment and see if we're going to still be mad 30 minutes or an hour later. And most times we're usually not. And then from there, that helps us, I feel like, have more patience with Nala as well, as far as parenting and some stuff she do.
Yeah, and like, I mean, like, for me, it's like, everybody's going to have arguments. You're going to have, like, disagreements and stuff like that. But I feel like it's always important for you to show your children that you're making up. You know what I mean? Like, you have to show them, even if you have your little arguments and stuff in the front of them, I mean, which you should try to limit as well, but always show them at the end of the day that, okay, mommy and daddy ain't, they mad at each other no more. Like, show them, always come back to showing them that love. I feel like that's what's really important.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Awesome.
One of the best pieces of advice I've received was from my former boss, Christine Williams.
Yeah.
Daughter. She's 12 this year. She said, the best thing to do for your daughter is to love her mother, because that's going to be the first example of, and that's the kind of advice I always give, especially fathers. Say, no mind, how they watch how you interact. And yeah, you guys saying the same thing. The children watch how you interact with each other, so they're going to base their relationships, whether it's with themselves or with their siblings or with somebody else, off of that. Oh.
So we have a question in the comments, right? And The question is, are you both from large families?
I come from a big family. Well, my immediate family, I have 2 brothers and 1 sister.
Yes.
So, I mean, I guess that's kind of big for now. That would be considered big. I feel like 4 kids. Yeah. That's big for now. Yeah. That would be big now. And
I see that differently. I see 4 school fees. I'm like, oh my God.
I have 2 younger brothers, but my mom, she has 7 siblings, so I have a lot of cousins. So I also have a pretty big family. My dad's side, I don't see them as much, but there's a lot of them as well. So yeah, we have a family reunion, like, on my side of the family, my mom's side, we have family reunion every year. It's like, nice. It's been 1 year, it's like,
yeah,
like 100 plus people almost every year that we have come out. And just like, so we go to different cities and stuff like that, just to meet up. We do it every Labor Day weekend, every year. We haven't done it this year because of COVID. But yeah, I'll say our family's pretty big.
And honestly, y'all, now that was definitely something different for me. I wasn't accustomed to, like, you know, like, I feel like for us, it's just, okay, we get together for weddings, funerals, Christmas, you know what I mean? Like, major holidays and stuff like that. But they actually have, like, a planned weekend for a family reunion every single year, like, the same weekend. Every year is Labor Day weekend, and they always have it in a different state. Like, you always go to a different, everybody meet up at a different location. And I feel like that's so cool. Like,
it is.
That's something that I would like to, you know, like, carry on as far as, you know, like, family tradition or stuff like that.
I think we're on our 40th or 50th year anniversary of doing it. Wow. It's been going on for a while, even before I was born. So, yeah, I think it's something my grandma had got started, I believe. Her cousins.
That's nice.
So, speaking of family, one of the things I see you guys did, what I loved, we did the carving thing, the turkey carving. Is that something you guys normally do just regular at-home events? Because, I mean, like Nicolette said, we get together and we do things. Someone get married, baby born, someone dead. But to see you guys just do something out of the way, that's Thanksgiving. Is that just something you guys normally do?
I would say that Nicolette comes up with the ideas, and I'm always willing to participate. Like, I don't know, we come home and say, hey, let's do this. But if I come home, she say, let's do this, I'm like, all right, let's go do it then. So yeah, I mean, Nicolette's real good at finding little hobbies and little things to do that I never would have thought of doing on my own. I've heard about pumpkin carving for years, but she brought it up and we actually did it, and it was really, really fun. Yeah.
And then too, like, even with that, like, sometimes it would be his brother and his brother's fiance, like, they would come up with certain ideas and be like, hey, y'all, we should meet up and do this. And we just be like, yeah, that sounds fun. We should do it. So, I mean, for us, that's definitely something too that we had talked about making a tradition like every year. So like even when his brothers have kids, like they can come over and every year they know, okay, we got pumpkin carving for Halloween. We got, you know what I mean, gingerbread house making for Christmas, like when they could meet up with their cousins and, you know, make stuff. So, yeah.
I feel like it's important for families, especially in this digital age of YouTube and stuff like that, to actually take time away from electronics and to do something with your hands or do something fun, whether it's painting and stuff like that. And then you'll learn a lot more about each other by doing things like that. But actually, like this thing I learned about my mom when we did gingerbread houses, I didn't think I would learn from her. I know her my entire life. But nonetheless, stuff like that I feel like is important. So that's definitely something we want to bring into our family and continue going forward.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, one of the things you guys are creating is a village. I know we're big on tribes, big on villages. And I love the header. And I know over here we do it as well. We have our siblings, families, like let's say our Grammy, our aunties, whatever. And the fact that you guys have that over there is awesome as well. Is there something, Kevin, that I know you say you have the family reunion, but is that something you guys normally do in terms of keep a village or I guess a tribe for lack of a word?
A smaller village outside of the family reunions, right? Your immediate tribe or village, you know, is that important for you?
Yeah, I would say so. Like I said, everything I embody in my life, I learned from my parents, first off. So a lot of stuff I do is just a reflection of them. So yeah, I would say it's very important. Like having the cousins, stuff like that, that's very important as well. But definitely, I have a very close connection with my mom, my dad, and both my brothers. And more on a personal level as well. I feel like a lot of times people have siblings and they're just siblings. They don't really know each other personally well enough. Like, you know each other as a kid. But do you know who your sibling is as an adult? And I feel like we took the extra steps of learning about each other as adults as well, and taking that time to continue to grow and learn about each other.
I love that one. Really, your siblings as a kid versus as an adult. What is something, Kev, that you learned when you got married that you can see now through your parents' eyes? I know for me, I appreciated certain names with my father and my mother more when I became a parent, and I got to appreciate certain things with my dad more when I became a husband. What are one of those things, Kevin and Nicolette, that once you began, now I came into the world or you got married, so you know what? I now see what mommy don't
say. Or be like, well, that's why they didn't have McDonald's money.
I was going to say, man, Rodney, I almost feel like you was neglecting me. I was like, okay, Kevin, okay. Now you ask me some questions, please.
I got you, girl.
You can go ahead.
Well,
like what you learned, like what, like looking back now and being a parent, like what could you say? Like, yeah, my mommy probably was right.
Mm. Well, there's a lot of things. I'll say this. My mom and dad always used to tell me when I was younger, you don't understand what I'm doing for you now, but you appreciate when you get older. They just say that all the time. And I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I see what they're talking about. Like, for example, even something simple as how much stuff costs, like for groceries and things like that. And like, I remember the time we'll go out and say, we want to get McDonald's, we want to get this. And my mom said, no, we got food at home. I see what she's talking about now, because I mean, when you guys start paying for food and just bills and stuff like that, just seeing how she handled finances and honestly, like I said, we didn't come from a very wealthy home. So just seeing her how to handle dealing with during struggle times and things like that helps me now be able to withstand what's going on now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, mom, that makes a lot.
Mm-hmm. Nicola.
For me, like, y'all, my mommy had this shirt, right? I don't even know if she still have the shirt, but the shirt say, wait till you have kids of your own. Honey, I know Nyla ain't even one yet, but that is so true. Like, me and my mommy was talking about that, like, probably a couple months back. But seriously, I feel like when you have children, I always, like, every time Nyla do something, I would be like, wow, like, mommy, wow. Mommy, you was right. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's That's something I could say just looking back. Like, I feel like just in general, though, like in all aspects of, you know, being an adult, having kids, and just like Kevin mentioned, paying bills, it's just like you really get to see life through your parents' perspective when you was a child, like in every single aspect. So,
I know for us, I think, yeah, so going back to the bills and making sure that you manage everything, and it's like, I want to spoil you. Like, I want to give you the world. I do. Like, I look at them and I'm like, yeah, we could go out to eat or we could do all of these fun stuff. But then, like, I also want to show you that it's good to be responsible too, or it's good to cook as well, or it's good to find entertainment at home or entertain yourself, you know? Like, yeah. I want to show you that as well. I don't want you to leave our presence and always have to, because now you're not able to like take care of yourself. Like, you always have to get something out there, or you always have to be in the company of others to find entertainment. Like, I always want to make sure that there is a balance, like, you know, and I'm thinking that that's what like Neville and Lydia were trying to teach me when they say go read a book. But like, I'm hoping that that was the case, but I mean, that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, man. And it's important. It's a lot of things you can't understand as a child.
Yeah.
That you, because your vantage point of life is different as a child.
Right.
Responsibilities is different as a child that you now understand as an adult. And now it costs me to appreciate that the kids can't understand certain things now.
Yeah.
So I don't get as frustrated with them when they ask for certain things, because I mean, they're still children. So yeah, they enjoy it. So they want to do these things because it's fun. Mm-hmm. So I say, okay, now how can I find ways to compromise in the middle? Okay. We can still do the fun memory stuff. But now we still gotta be able to be fiscally responsible.
Because
one thing I hold my hang my hat on, I try not to have them understand certain things. It's like they don't need to understand how to pay BEC. That's not the lesson at 10. When you get 14, 15, I teach you how to pay like bills so you can be prepared for when you become an adult. But I mean, if you 4 and then you keep the light off because the light they run up, like, they 4, they don't understand, they won't play game. Like stuff like that. So that's my son. So Nicolette, why was holding off on you? Few people know actually, but I've known Nicolette. I've known Nicolette a very, very long time.
I am a fan. How long have you known her?
I mean, my whole life, almost.
Yeah, exactly. So I've watched Nicolette grow up from a young lady, a little girl actually, like Nala, to a beautiful wife now, a mother.
Whole life.
And so I'm mother. And I Nicolette, I am so proud of you, baby.
Don't make me cry on you, man.
Real talk, man. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. The stuff that you're doing, the woman that you've became. I'm so proud of you. Kevin, I thank you so much for receiving her and making sure that she is taken care of and allowing her to grow in the presence. And now on cue. Now
I'm just like,
on cue. Now let me go.
Like y'all I reach now.
Y'all need to catch, you know, our Facebook lives and catch us on YouTube, because you will get to see this beautiful little girl. Oh, with the cheeks and everything in the bowls. Hi, Nyla. How are you?
Hi, baby.
Say hi.
She's so sweet.
Hey. I see in person, she can look at me sideways because she doesn't know who I am. Why are you watching me? So, like, I feel like you have a connection. Find the sun if you don't know who I am when you meet me.
Like, I saw the half birthday cake. So, okay.
So Nicolette, how was it for you? Because again, you grew up here in Nassau in the Bahamas, and now you're in a different place. How has that transition been for you? How just has that been for you in general, just not being here anymore?
Here we go. Okay, so one thing I could say about living in Arkansas, it's not like fast paced. So I mean, like, Arkansas really reminds me of home, but just in a different way. Like, obviously it ain't no beaches or nothing like that, but it still reminds me of like it reminds me of island life, just like in some aspects, because it's not like living in New York where it's like super super fast, you know what I mean? But as far as getting adjusted to being here, I think the hardest part is just like dealing with being homesick, because I actually haven't been home since 2018. Wow. So yeah, I haven't been home in a while, like since before I had Nyla. And then
I agree, Nyla.
Is this your time to shine?
Yes.
But so it was like I had Nyla. And then right after having Nyla, COVID came. And so that kind of put everything, you know, on hold and stuff like that. So for me, like I say, it's just dealing with being homesick from time to time. I try to video call my mommy and Nashi and Michael them like as much as I can. Like I would literally video call them multiple times throughout every single day.
Nice.
So yeah. So I could say like even though we're not around each other physically, they've still been able to see Nyla grow and, you know, her progress and stuff. And honestly, I know sometimes people feel like, oh, this girl always posting Nyla on Facebook, but it's really so my family could monitor her growth. Like they have a way to keep in touch because I know I haven't been able to go home and they haven't had the chance to meet her yet. So it's like that's a way for everyone to be able to keep tabs on, you know, what's going on.
Right,
I appreciate
that. Ash is in the comments right now about Auntie Sweetie.
Yeah, that's
to what we were talking about.
That's how one good niece.
I kid you not. I'm sure about the nieces. Of course, they're in trouble. I kid you not. I honestly log in the Facebook to see your page. It's that and probably one other thing, but I go to your stories immediately. And if it's not on your story, go to your page. And that's all I do.
But then that's why we wanted to reach out to you because we see how you love Kevin. We see how Kevin loves you. We see how you and Kevin love Nyla. And y'all have fun with each other. Y'all play games. Y'all do activities together. And so even though you may have different backgrounds and, you know, you're living in a different place, you still find a way to make it work and make love. And I mean, I ain't trying to talk about that type of make, but you understand what I'm trying to say.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, no, they do that. You know. Let me get out of that business. Anyway, you find ways to make it work is what I'm saying. And that's something that we look up to and we really commend you guys for.
Thank you. Really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah. We trying, y'all.
y'all are doing. I like to tell people it's doing it. You guys are definitely doing. I remember you having a picture, Nicolette. How would your ideal baby look? It was Nyla. Like, I don't know how they got a picture of Nyla. It's like, so you guys are like the, and it's a lot of pressure, but it's true. You guys are the epitome of like young black love. And I think that's a beautiful thing to see. I think that's, it's a heavy ground to carry, but you guys carry it well.
Yeah,
I would definitely encourage you guys to keep it up. Keep you guys first, let Nyla know the love of God and love of her parents, and keep moving. You have a beautiful Felicia, and I love it there. So,
definitely.
Alex, I never met Kevin in person before, but through social media and then through talking to you, I feel like I know him.
Oh, yeah.
And same thing with his family and stuff.
And this conversation, the admiration is growing.
Yeah, man. And hi. Communication, more about communication. I like to talk about communication, something I'm continuously working on. So I appreciate the lesson in terms of communication. I want to assume, Nyla, tell us where the name Nyla came from and what's her name and where the name Nyla came from.
Okay, so Nyla, at first I was like, oh, we should name her Nala. Like, you know, Nala from The Lion King? Mm-hmm. And Kevin was like, no.
And
I was like, okay, what about Nyla? And then he was like, yeah, that sounds good. And we just went with Nyla.
Very good. Mm-hmm.
That's where Nyla came from.
I like that end name.
Nadia. Yeah. Are you sure
you know? You know Nadia. You know we gotta stick to the,
But is there anything that you would like to leave our listeners with? Because we're getting up on our time.
Okay.
Is there anything that you would like to leave them with? Any final thoughts?
Okay, I would say, I guess for anybody wanting to, head in the direction of, you know, having a family and marriage and, I mean, just being young with it as well, I would encourage you to stick to that. I feel like even just as Black people, this is really important in this day and age. I feel like you become a part of this, you know, it's like you breaking generational curses and, you know, like you moving in a totally different direction. Like this is honestly what we need. This is the type of love that we need. This is what we need to portray because especially for children. Children, they cling to what they see and they mimic what they see. And so, you know, once you have that representation now, they have something that they can look forward to and, you know, hopefully do that same thing. So I think that's one thing I would leave with y'all. Like, it's important.
I would I agree with all of that. And I would say take time to get to know yourself before moving forward in a relationship. If you move forward in a relationship, you don't know who you fully are yourself, you're more likely to come across issues in the future. So it's best to really understand who you are, and then from there, it'll help you be able to find out exactly what you want. Because like I said, the divorce rate, I believe, is at like 50%, at least over here, which means half relationships don't work. But I think the reason that is because I think a lot of people get caught up in the honeymoon phase of the relationship and not really paying attention to the little things a person may do or not do that they may not like later on. So, like I said, find time to know yourself and know that person before moving forward, because your emotions and your heart is very sensitive. So you got to be careful with where you place it at. And so, yeah, take that time and do your due diligence, and more likely you'll have a good outcome.
So before we go, yeah, I have a question for you, because you're psychology. What if you're already in the relationship? You're already married. So you guys are married 5-10 years and you have kids, but it's not necessarily working the way you want to work it. What advice from that, like I said, that psychological communication standpoint, what advice would you give the person, the persons in relationship, and how to stick through it?
I would say, like I said, find out who that person is right now. Who that person is now, that same person they was 5 years ago. I'm not the same person I was 2 years ago. No, neither is Nicolette. So take time to know who that person is. I think a lot of relationships get caught up in who they met when they was 22, 24, 25 years old. But say you're in your 30s or your 40s now, it's a different person. So find time to know who that person is and then make sacrifices. Like say, even our relationship, I know I can say, I'm pretty sure she can say as well. There's a lot of things I just don't take time of even trying to argue or get involved with. And she does it as well. Like, so we're all humans. We all have emotions. So we all may say things in the heat of the moment, but like you had said earlier, Rodney, recognize it's the heat of the moment and just let it go. Just let it go and move forward. And like I said, take time to speak to each other openly and be aware of how your words impact that person. Because like I said, if you're angry and you say something in the heat of the moment, you can't change how that's going to make that person feel. So I tell, like, even the clients I have, I tell them, if you're mad, just stop talking. Just stop talking and take a break and breathe and then get yourself together and then go back and have that conversation if you want to be successful.
So I need to keep Snickers around the house is what you're
saying. Say what?
I need to keep Snickers around the house is what you're saying.
If that helps you work, then. If that helps me, yeah.
Enough said. J Fitness, don't even worry about it. I'll burn them together.
I actually do that same thing with our son. We have she's 11. She's going to be 12 in October. I don't know why you're trying to fast forward her age.
No, please don't.
She's 11, sixth grader, going to high school. And our son is in grade 2, and he is 7. So with him, he gets up, he tends to get upset at times. I tell him, simply say, stop talking. Because what you're going to say is going to get yourself in trouble. Just pause, breathe, stop. I know for me, with him at least, because what you're saying, Gavin, I love, and I wish I heard that when I was his age. Mm-hmm. I wasn't necessarily taught to deal with my emotions. I wasn't taught to talk about it. I was taught, he's a boy, suck it up. Don't talk about these things or
that's
whatever.
A big thing.
So now I'm trying to teach him to talk his emotions out. So now I'm realizing that I need to be more patient too, because he doesn't understand how to deal with emotions, period, because he's only 7. And now this is new territory for both of us, because I never dealt with the emotional 7-year-old boy before. So now I'm trying to get him to understand his emotional intelligence. How important is it to develop emotional intelligence in children, especially young? Because I know Nala is a beautiful body one that's how important it is to catch them while they're young, opposed to try to catch them when they're like adults or teenagers.
Yeah. Well, like I say, actually my job is I'm a counselor at a school. And one thing I can say is really
I work with kids
at a school. But I would say I think a lot of kids, like I was raised the same way. Like say you're a boy, now supposed to be tough. You know, I say you're not supposed to show these emotions. And I learned later on that's not the way things supposed to be. But nonetheless, I would say give your kids the opportunity to express how they feel, no matter how they express it. And then from there, take the time to explain to them or try to help them decipher what it is. I think a lot of times kids have these thoughts in their head because they're smarter than what you let them on for. But it's, I think it's our duty to explain to them what those thoughts may or may not be. And also with that being said, you can't be biased. I know a lot of parents are going to be biased in what they teach their children, but I feel like you should. I feel like you should be universal and just take the time to listen to your child and let them know that it's okay to feel a certain type of way or have these type of emotions. It's just how you react when you have those emotions. Like I tell my clients, there's nothing wrong with being angry. It's just how you react when you are angry or when you are sad or it may be. So let children know that they can speak to you and that you are willing to talk to them without basically being a judge-free zone. A lot of kids, and especially the older they get, what I've learned is they get further and further away from their parents as far as what they say to them, as far as their personal feelings. So when they get to their teenage years, however you raise them up to the teenage years determine how I feel like they're going to be for the rest of their life as an adult. So I feel like the young years are the building blocks and the foundation you have to set and solidify if you want, I feel like, the most success out of your child. And if you wasn't able to do that, you still have time to do that, but you have to take the time to talk to your child and understand from their level and understand, like you said, if they're 6 years old, speak to them on a six-year-old level. And also with that being said, I can go on forever about this, but to wrap it up, you could have a 10-year-old, but they may be mentally an 8-year-old, or they may be mentally a 6-year-old, or they may be mentally a 15-year-old at 10. Talk to them on a level that they can simply understand. And give them, like I said, more credit than what they already have. Like I said, these kids I know are smarter than kids were 10, 20, 30 years ago.
I think
so. And they're so exposed to the world. So explain to them what they will see, because they're going to see the world one way or another. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's our job to explain to them what the world is showing them. That way they don't approach it the wrong way when they enter into the world.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Look at him just like
you guys are getting wise beyond your years. I'm learning and I appreciate it. That's why I love to be doing this, because I get to learn. I don't know the
lessons right now. I'm learning. Hopefully there's an exchange both ways.
I enjoyed it. We should definitely do this more often. I was nervous at first. I feel like it's a job interview. I don't know what to say. it was real good. Nicholas showed me some of the things I've done before. I feel like y'all are doing a real good job.
Yeah.
I feel like it's important that y'all are showing, giving people a platform to show how things really are and can be. I feel like it's really good. Y'all are doing a great job.
Yeah.
No, man. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
I know what it is for us to get just evolved into this. It's really God is working through, because we just want somewhere where we just could talk. And we realize that, I think Gavin Nicolette mentioned it before, there's not much positive imagery out there.
Right.
So it's always some, whether it's not popular or it's not interesting, whatever, but it's not necessarily much platforms for people to really see people just vibing or just being cool. Yeah. There's nothing. Yeah. Nothing attached to it, just, you know,
like you don't have dialogue. To have an angry conversation, or you don't have to have a pointed conversation. You could just have a conversation. And then you have an exchange of ideas and it's pleasant. Mm-hmm. Like, why can't it be a pleasant conversation?
Mm-hmm. Not like talking to. Oh. And that's what it is. So thank you guys for this. Are you guys planning anything? I'm biased. I follow you guys. So, but are you guys trying to pivot in that direction? Are you doing anything of that nature? Or just being the Stokes in Arkansas?
How you guys have a podcast?
Yeah, anything? Are you doing
anything? How can we follow the Stokes in the future?
If you want that.
If
that's without giving too much information now, we're still in the brainstorming room, but okay. I think we both want to find a way to get out there and speak with people and like to give people a platform to talk on as well.
Yeah.
How we're going to do that route, we're not exactly sure, because we have Nyla and she's a handful. And
yeah, y'all, I don't know if you guys know, but we have another one on the way too.
Yeah,
you
do know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Y'all, she's my daddy.
Oh.
Yeah, but good. I feel like I think one day we will get into it. We just gotta we're still getting our foundation fully together and settled. That way, when we do the start to build, we'll be ready.
Okay, awesome. Great.
Keep us updated.
Yes. So
definitely.
Why is it me? Damn, okay. Just... So thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to the Art and Love podcast.
Thank you to the Soaks for coming on and allowing us to pick your brain. Sorry, I don't know if piggy brains mean something different with that, but that means allowing us to learn from you guys. So
yes. So if you want to catch this episode and past episodes, you can watch this episode on our Facebook page, on our YouTube page, and it'll be available on Anchor and all other podcast streaming platforms.
Yes. Google it, Art and Love podcast, and it come up.
And if you have any questions, you can send us an email at rnlovepodcast@gmail.com. So this has been another episode of Art and Love. We thank you so much.
Yes, and it should be an awkward now. So thank you guys so much. And until next time, we will be here. Not next week, we'll be after next with another couple. Right?
Yes,
with another couple. So see you guys later.
This one is called Lover's Choice.